Heavenly Father, we worship you and adore you because you have raised your Son from the dead, and you've made him to be Lord over all things in heaven and on earth. Renew our hearts this day in the confidence that in the risen Christ we can overcome all threats to the reality of your love for us, especially destroy in us the fear that death separates us from your mercy. Raise us each day from the depths of sin to the joys of forgiveness, and enable us to live each hour as new persons in Christ. In his strong name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all of you to our worship service on this, the festival of our Lord's resurrection, Easter Sunday. We pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us as we worship our risen Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You follow the order of worship as you find it printed in your service bulletin. You have the confession of sins and then hear the words of the Lord's absolution. Lord, we confess to you our sinful condition and our sinful behavior. Have mercy on us, Father in heaven. Bless us and keep us. Lord, we realize that we have deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lord, we are not able to atone for our sins, nor can we set ourselves free from the guilt of our sin. Have mercy on us, Holy Spirit. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. Jesus was delivered over to death because of our sins, and he was raised to life because God declared us righteous. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we who've been raised with him through baptism may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, we'll have a number of Bible readings shared, different accounts of the Easter story as recorded in the four Gospels by a number of our men in the congregation. And note that in between each of the readings, there'll be the singing of one stanza of hymn 480.
Our first reading today comes from the book of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb when they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Here ends the reading. We join in singing hymn 480, stanza 1.
Our second reading is from John 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. We'll join in singing the second stanza in 480.
Our third reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see." We'll continue with hymn 480, third stanza.
Our fourth reading continues in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 35. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things, and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is near evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was passed by them when he broke the bread. We join in singing hymn 480, stanza 4.
Our fifth reading continues in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. We join in singing hymn 480, stanza 5.
Final reading continues in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Here ends the final reading. Let's now join together in the Easter Sunday Confession of Faith as found printed in your bulletin on page 3. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, Lord of Lords and Savior of the fallen world. I believe that he is the Word made flesh, who came to earth to redeem all sinners. He was born under the law to fulfill all of God's commandments on my behalf. He was crucified at the hands of sinful men and endured all the punishment that I and all sinners deserved. To fully satisfy the justice of God, he died and was buried. I believe that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead, as the prophets foretold, and as he himself promised, proved by the inspired scriptures and by many eyewitnesses, Jesus' resurrection shows that he is God's Son, that his mission of salvation is complete, and that he has triumphed over death, our last great enemy. With this victory, Christ has become our forerunner, the first fruits of all who sleep in him. Because he rose, I and all who trust in his redeeming work shall rise on the last day to a life of endless bliss. Because he lives, I too shall live. He will fulfill his promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. And the choir will now present their Easter anthem. Grace and peace be multiplied to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text on this Easter Sunday is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, reading in chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now they're wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior, dear Christian friends, Nikolai Bukharin, probably a name you aren't too familiar with unless you are a history buff. Who was Nikolai Bukharin? He was a Soviet politician, philosopher, and prolific author of the early 20th century. He participated in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, and he also served as editor for the Soviet propaganda newspaper Pravda. Story that's told about a trip that Nikolai Bukharin made from Moscow to Kiev, Ukraine, a city we've been hearing a lot about in the news lately, in 1930, where he delivered a speech on atheism. And during his address to a packed house, he hurled insult after insult at Christians, presenting what to his mind were convincing proofs as to why the claims of the Bible about the resurrection couldn't be true. And at the speech's end, he looked out over his audience, what seemed to be a demoralized crowd, and he asked, "You have any questions?" The response was deafening silence. Until a man got up, walked to the stage, stepped in front of the lectern, and shouted to the crowd, "He is risen." At which everyone rose to their feet and shouted back, a response that came crashing down like a loud peal of thunder through the auditorium, "He is risen indeed." That Easter greeting, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed," has been used by Christians for centuries. And on this happy Easter morning, we've gathered to celebrate this truth with high thanks to God. And we do this because we know the teaching that Christ died for sinners and rose from the tomb is borne out by the scriptures which were given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit whom the Bible calls the Spirit of truth. He does not tell lies. And we want to consider this morning some of the things now that the Spirit of truth has recorded for us, which we know as Christians to be established as true beyond doubt. Christ is risen indeed. Established by the vacant grave, by the angel reporters, and by the sure words of promise that were spoken by none other than Jesus himself. So it's early morning on the first Easter. The sun has not yet arisen. Several grief-stricken ladies are walking ever so slowly down the path that leads from the city out to the cemetery, carrying spices to complete the job of embalming Jesus' body. These ladies administered to Jesus of their substance during his life. They were below the cross grieving on Good Friday and witnessed his gruesome death. And they had also taken very careful note of where his body had been laid to rest. And now, as the final act of devotion for Jesus, they're going to give his corpse a proper burial. When they arrive at the cemetery, they notice, surprisingly, the stone that Joseph and Nicodemus had rolled in front of the tomb's door had been rolled off to the side. They look in, they see grave clothes lying there, wrapped up very neatly. No body. What could have happened? Well, we know the answer, which they also would come to know very soon, that the Lord Jesus had revitalized, re-energized, resuscitated, reinvigorated his dead body by the power that he, the mighty Son of God, possesses. He had passed right through with his revivified body the walls of the burial chamber, which had been sealed up, and had vacated it. For the Lord had sent angels from heaven to take that big boulder and then rolled against the tomb entrance to fling it aside and to bring this Easter miracle a public matter so everybody would know. Now, if somebody should say, you know, an empty grave, that really doesn't prove a whole lot. Bodies can be stolen by grave robbers. That's what Mary Magdalene believed at first when she saw the vacant tomb and she ran back to the city and reported to the behind closed doors disciples. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. In the throes of her grief, she'd forgotten that the governor had sealed the tomb with his official seal and had posted guards to fend off any would-be grave thieves. But if someone would say, be that as it may, still just because someone says that Jesus vacated his grave doesn't make it true, and that would be correct, just saying so. As Christians, we know the Holy Scriptures, which report this event, authored by Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew, which state that the tomb of Jesus became suddenly vacant and that these scriptures were inspired, as mentioned earlier, by none other than the Spirit of truth. That makes it certain. A little bit of note on that Easter greeting that we've mentioned, the Lord is risen, he's risen indeed, which is actually what the Emmaus disciples said when they went back to the Jerusalem after seeing Jesus alive at Emmaus. He said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. The Greek word translated indeed means in point of fact, as a matter of fact, in truth, truly, actually, really, certainly, surely, for sure, undeniably. It's a pretty important word when we say the Lord is risen indeed. And God has provided even more evidence of our Savior's resurrection, for we're told that when the women entered the burial chamber and saw those grave linens lying there neatly folded, but in no body, and they're mulling over what possibly could have taken place, that suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in fear they bowed their faces to the ground, and then the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. These two men, of course, were angels whom God had specially commissioned to go down to earth from heaven and orally announce to report the news to these ladies that Jesus had been restored to life. You ever notice, dear friends, in your reading of the Bible, how frequently it's mentioned that God used angels to help and serve those who are going to inherit heaven? The Bible teaches us about that. Angels were created, in fact, specifically for this purpose, to serve Christians like the Christmas angels who announced to the shepherds the news of Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, the Ascension Day. Angels later on who appeared to the disciples to assure them that the same Jesus who went up into heaven going to come back the same way that they watched him go. And still later, after Pentecost, angels were sent to release Peter and John from a dungeon at Jerusalem so that they could continue broadcasting the message of the resurrected Christ. Well, here's another beautiful instance of this, that God used these angel messengers on Easter Sunday, not only to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher to make Jesus' resurrection known to everybody, he was already gone, but also to let them know, indeed, in point of fact, as a matter of fact, in truth, truly, actually, really, in reality, certainly, surely, for sure, undeniably, Christ is risen. And this means that death has been conquered for you as well. He was crucified for your offenses, raised for your justification. Through faith in this Christ, this risen Savior, the image of God, once lost by the fall into sin in the beginning, has been restored. And you are now with him, conquerors over sin, victors over death, vanquishers of the grave. It cannot harm you any more than it could harm Jesus. It's become for you only a sleep. And all these precious truths, my friends, just think about how they're contained in that little brief, sweet message of the angels to the women that day. Jesus is not here, he's risen. They're also true for every child of God, every Christian, including all of us. Same truth, in point of fact, in truth, truly, actually, really, in reality, certainly, surely, for sure, undeniably. The foe was triumphant when on Calvary the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree. In Satan's domain did the host shout and jeer, for Jesus was slain whom the evil ones fear. But short was their triumph. The Savior arose in death, hell, and Satan. He vanquished his foes. The conquering Lord lift his banner on high. He lives, yes, he lives, and will nevermore die. So where is your sting, death? We fear you no more. Christ rose, and now open is fair Eden's door. For all our transgressions, his blood does atone. Redeemed and forgiven, we now are his own. Undeniably, indeed, absolutely true. Now let's consider one other little piece of evidence that corroborates the resurrection of Jesus. Actually, it's a big piece. They're all big, but this is particularly big. The resurrection doctrine is fact, but because we have the words of Jesus himself, his promise. The angels went on to tell the disciples, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Again, it's not going to be very convincing proof for the Nikolai Bukharovs of the world, the unbelieving cynics and skeptics, but for us Christians, it's marvelous proof, absolute proof. Jesus had predicted that this miracle of Easter was going to happen on a number of occasions. You remember some of them? Like in the Good Shepherd chapter, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and then he said, I have authority to lay my life down and authority to take it up again, he said. The beginning of his public ministry, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And a number of times as he made his final trip to Jerusalem, in the direction of his passion and death, he said to the disciples, which the angels quoted on Easter morning, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Let us, my friends, remember Jesus' words for our spiritual comfort and peace as well. In all the ups and downs of life in a world of sin, when we grow nervous, we're afraid, when troubles come our way, pain. pains, physical limitations, loss of loved ones, the scorn of the world for what we believe about Jesus and the Bible. And when we see the evil things happening in the world around us, the crazy things, the godless things, the breakdown of our society, let's remember Jesus' words. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Alive and with us always. And again, for what purpose? To bless us with his love, to plead for us above, our hungry souls to feed, to help in time of need, to comfort us when faint, to hear our soul's complaint, our mansion to prepare, and finally, to bring us safely there. Happy Easter, my friends. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and now we'll sing together hymn 730, which you can find in the Tan Hymnal, hymn 730. Thank you. Let us arise and pray. This Easter Sunday, we'll use the responsive prayer together, found on pages 4 and the top of page 5. Heavenly Father, God of grace, you've brought us into a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive.
He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification.
We marvel at the love you showed by your willingness to sacrifice your Son to pay for our sins. We bow down in adoration at your mighty power which raised him from the dead.
We praise you for sending the true life and light into the world.
Lord Jesus, God of grace, you have filled our hearts with resurrection joy by your victory over sin, death, and the grave.
You have conquered the darkness and given us comfort and hope.
With the church of every age, we offer you unending praise, for you have crushed Satan's head and have removed our guilt. Dear Savior, we who are weary and burdened come to you for rest, knowing that because of your perfect redemption, there is now no condemnation for us.
Take away our doubts and fears, and daily renew in us the joy of our salvation.
Holy Spirit, God of grace, you have called us by the gospel and brought us to saving faith in our risen Lord.
We glorify you for opening our eyes to see the light of life.
Keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. As we journey through life, make us yearn for the day when you will give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ. Work through us as we proclaim the saving message of the crucified and risen Jesus near and far, so that many others may hear your call, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and join us before the throne of our God and of the Lamb.
Alleluia,
for our Lord Almighty reigns.
Alleluia.
And we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
our salvation hath procured. Alleluia. Now above the sky he's king. Alleluia. Where the angels ever sing. Alleluia.
May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.